If you folks would excuse me, that one got me. What I'm about to say here in some ways seems like a break from what has been going on, and yet in a very direct sense, it is not a break at all. My prayer has been, since the Lord showed me that I was to surrender the pulpit of this church, that God would put someone here who would hold the people of God in his heart. To that end, I want you to know I believe you people have elected a very good pulpit search committee. I was very happy with it. I felt like they were representative of the church. I felt like you had elected from a very good pool of men, five of the very best. And so I'm very thankful for that. I feel like these men will do the very best that they possibly can. I watched them last Wednesday night after you had elected them. And I was impressed with their response. You elected them to an incredibly formidable task. And after they were elected, we brought them up here on the front row. And they were sitting there and were very quiet. They were deep in thought and they were very sober. You know, it is a sobering task to, on a human level, be charged with choosing a shepherd for the Lord's people. And I want to help them. I know you want to help them. And I'm going to speak to you for just a moment about how to help your pulpit search committee. Five simple things. Number one, don't rush them. Give them time, first of all, to get organized and get through the learning curve. Three of these men, possibly unknown to some of you, have actually served on a search committee before. I don't know how you did that. I don't know how you elected that, but you did. And they need time to go through and learn and kind of get their heads wrapped around what they've got to do here. So don't rush them. Please don't ask them a bunch of questions. And I feel like I'm telling you things that you would intuitively know anyway. And yet it's my job as a preacher to be, the guy who harps on things you already know anyway. But anyway, let me do it and I'll feel better. One of the advantages that I wanted to give to the church and to the committee is the advantage of time to do those very things, to get organized and to learn. And I wanted them to be able to do that while they still had 2.5 months with my hand at the helm of the church. Now, in the long term, you realize that this is a very unusual church. All kind of churches, aren't they? I was listing them. You've got camp meeting churches. You've got singing churches. Not singing, singing churches. You've got single issue churches where a translation or a family or some issue is primary and nothing else seems to matter. You've got contemporary churches, which we ain't. You've got Calvinistic churches, which we definitely are not. All kind of churches. And so that means that preachers who will fit here are not going to grow, don't grow on trees, do they? So these men are going to be searching through a lot of names, a lot of men, and they have a formidable task, and so we don't want to rush them at all. Think about it for just a moment. Out of all the preachers on the planet, they have to pick one. Now, how's that for a big job? Challenging, I know. All right. Now, secondly, I enjoyed the spirit of unity that was displayed last Wednesday night. I didn't feel like I was in a congregation of Democrats and Republicans. I just felt like it was all we were all usocrats, and just a family, and I really enjoyed that Wednesday night. And so in that spirit, I want to exhort you, number two, to not just don't rush the committee, but to trust them. You know, we elected them. I say we. I didn't even vote. You elected them. And you had plenty of choices, didn't you? I mean, you really did. Started out with 21. I want to commend the 8 men who declined. I think they were looking out for their church. I mean, I think they were trying to do the very best thing. That was quite a humble thing for them to do. And then you took 13 and produced 5. And so just a good thing there. So trust them and understand that a pulpit search committee has to work, has to do their work in private. They cannot give detailed and regular reports to the church. Someone who is not familiar with this process might visualize going up to the pulpit search committee and saying, "Well, who are you looking at now?" That can't happen. You say, "Why can't that happen?" That can't happen because it will divide the church. The person who finds out who the pulpit search committee is looking at will either say, I like that guy. He is a good guy. And after they decide that, the pulpit committee decides the next day that that is not the one. And so this person says, "Why didn't you pick him? I thought he was great. What's the matter with you guys?" And then if this guy is talking to someone and that pulpit search committee member is talking to somebody else, you know how gossip is. It gets started over here and it's one thing. And by the time those two people meet, the conversation is going to go something like this. "Well, so-and-so told me so-and-so." "Well, that's not what Brother so-and-so said. Those pulpit search committee guys are talking out of both sides of their mouth." It will divide the church. We just don't want that at all. And so understand that they are not going to be able to talk specifically, and one of their chief comments is going to be no comment. So we've got to understand that. They're going through a lot of names, and we don't want to divide the church. So anyway, and by the way, I'm not guessing about that. You talk to anyone who is familiar with pulpit search committees, and they'll tell you that the deliberations in that committee have to be in private. So anyway, understand that. Well, then, number three, if you have some information or know of someone you think might be a good candidate, give them that information in writing and feel free to give it to them. You can recommend anyone that you'd like to recommend, but then you got to leave it there. You got to just leave it with the committee. It's part of trusting them. Now, understand, of all the recommendations that they'll be given, they have to pick one. It doesn't mean if they do not choose your person, that doesn't mean he's a bad guy. It just means he's not the guy. He's not the one in their view. And they have a huge job. So trust them and understand. And by the way, don't expect them to report back to you and say, "We didn't pick your guy because he is an axe murderer, or because he is something like, we didn't pick your guy." Again, that's the recipe for bad feeling and disagreement and that sort of thing. Give them the name and trust them with it, and don't ask them to come back to you because they won't be able to do that. Now, let me see. Can't read my writing here. Most of the time when you give them some information or a recommendation, they will accept it without comment, and they can't report back. Now, number four, their job is to bring one guy. One guy. Now, again, some might say, "Well, why can't they bring us three candidates and let us vote between them?" Selah. Think about that just a moment, and you'll see why you can't do that. You know what you would have then? You would have this crowd over here liking this guy, this crowd over here liking this guy, this crowd over here liking this guy, and you would have the Democrats, the Republicans, and the Whigs in the church. And it would not be a good thing at all. So they cut it down. They have one guy they believe is God's man. They bring him in. Now, can you reject that guy? Yes, you can. You can say, "Nah, we're not picking him." You can do that. But remember, these guys have been praying all this time, And so anyway, and by the way, sometimes churches do that. I was in a church one time. This is the truth. They brought in a pulpit committee or pulpit candidate whose name was Spurgeon. I'm telling the truth. I'm not lying. I'm not just preaching. I'm telling the truth here. Guy's name was Spurgeon. The church voted him down. Church voted down Spurgeon? Isn't that something? I never would have thought, never would have expected that. If you know Spurgeon, he was the 18th century prince of preachers. That's what that joke's all about. Anyway, number five. Is there a number five? Must have been only four, Brother Charles.